So I want to read our scripture for tonight. It comes from the book of Acts, chapter 6. It's verses 1 through 4. This is the first time that we see deacons in the New Testament. And it says this: "In those days, as the disciples were increasing in number, there arose a complaint by the Hellenistic Jews against the Hebraic Jews that their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution. The 12 summoned the whole company of the disciples and said, 'It would not be right for us to give up preaching the word of God to wait on tables. Brothers and sisters, select from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Spirit and wisdom, whom we can appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word.'" This is the word of the Lord. So would you take a moment, and let's pray together that God would bless our time. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for your church. Thank you for this family. Thank you for the deacons that you have given this church. I pray in the time that we have together that we would see what you have called deacons to do, and you would encourage their hearts. I pray, Lord, that our eyes would always be focused on your glory, not the ministry of these people that occupy this office, but ultimately may they point us to Jesus, our Savior. So let this be tonight, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. There once was a man that lived. He was a pastor. His name was Charles Spurgeon. Maybe you've heard of him. Charles Spurgeon, he was a pastor in England in the 1800s, and he has been known as the Prince of Preachers. The reason they call him that is because he had a way with words. He knew how to take the words and phrases and put them together just right. He could explain things in a way, he could turn the phrase in just the right way so that you would remember what he said years down the road. And so one time, Charles Spurgeon, the Prince of Preachers, said something about deacons that will never leave my mind. Here's what he said: "A deacon is worse than a devil. For if you resist the devil, he will flee from you. But if you resist a deacon, he will fly at you." Says one of our deacons. Now, the truth is that is actually just a rumor. Charles Spurgeon never said that. He was accused of saying that, but that's not how he talked about deacons. That's not how he felt about deacons. In fact, the opposite was true. And that is the opposite of how the Bible talks about deacons. So for a few minutes tonight, I want to look at the first time the office of deacons is mentioned in the Bible. The book of Acts, chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, we're going to look at it, and we're going to see two truths that help deacons. Two truths that help deacons. And you might be sitting there going, "Well, Sean, I am not a deacon. Do I need to be in here for this?" Well, if you want the ice cream, you have to stay through this part. No, I'm just kidding. These two truths are good for the church to hear so that we can know them and we can help our deacons as they do their ministry. So two truths that help deacons. Let's look at the first truth. Here it is: the church is full of complication. The church is full of complication. I don't know what your experience in church is. I'm sure you've had some sort of experience, and that experience has caused you to think that the church is full of something. You think that maybe the church is full of gossip or grace, or maybe you think it's full of opinions about what the color of the carpet should be. Maybe you think it's full of fighting or love, or people who sing off key, but they sing with all their heart. Maybe you think it's full of hypocrites, or hope, or potluck casseroles that are an absolute mystery until you take a bite, and then they're actually really good. The church is full of something. You know that, and you're right to think that. Look with me at Acts chapter 6, verse 1. "In those days, as the disciples were increasing in number, there arose a complaint by the Hellenistic Jews against the Hebraic Jews that their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution. The 12 summoned the whole company of the disciples and said, 'It would not be right for us to give up preaching the word of God to wait on tables.'" You see what happened there? Here's what it shows us. The church is full of something. The church is full of complication. And back then, in Acts chapter 6, it was a really exciting time for the church. I'm really excited. I mean, more exciting than some of the exciting times that we have here, you know, where the preacher says, I'm going to go short because we have a potluck after the service. Like, that's exciting, but this was really exciting. The Lord had poured out his Spirit on the people. And they were going out sharing the gospel every day with others. And people by the hundreds were putting their faith in Christ. The church was growing. The kingdom of God was expanding. God was working through the church. It was exciting. But then things got complicated. Back then, there was no such thing as social security, or there was no welfare system set up. And so it was hard for people. Older ladies were especially vulnerable in that society because if their husband died and they had no kids to take care of them, well, then they couldn't afford to make ends meet. Most of them couldn't anyway. And so what happened is the church begins to form and the people of the church are taking care of these widows who can't take care of themselves. There were a lot of widows in the church like this, and the church was helping them. They had this daily distribution. That was this basket of food, basically, that was given out to the widows who didn't have anything. And they would eat that food every day, and then the next day they would get more food. But there was a problem. Some of the widows, they were Hellenistic Jews. That means they were Greek-speaking Jews. And then some of, widows that were Greek-speaking. And then some of them were, they spoke Aramaic. They were Hebraic Jews. So you had these two different groups of widows that spoke different languages. And before Jesus rose from the grave, they were in different churches. There was the church that spoke Greek and the church that spoke Aramaic. Well, when Jesus rose up from the grave, guess what happened? They all became one church and they all started taking care of each other. But these Greek-speaking widows, they were being overlooked. We don't know if it was intentional or not, but they were overlooked and the church had to address it. And I know you might be going, Sean, what does a Hellenistic Jew or a Hellenistic widow have to do with me? Well, here is the point. The church was complicated. The church was growing. You know, God was working in it. People were coming to know Jesus. And guess what happened? Things got complicated. Now, aren't you glad there's no complication in the church today? Some of you are like, Sean, have you ever even been inside a church before? Because all churches have complications, don't they? Our church has complications. Every single church you have ever been part of is full of complication. There can be complication with the church feeling split because there are two different services. Or maybe it's complication from generational differences or drama between members or who gets to use the facility at certain times or ministries that have different needs or how to distribute the Lord's Supper while making sure no one gets missed, including the kids workers, and also making sure that people know that we have the gluten-free option. Or maybe it is complication from debates about whether the thermostat is set too high or too low, which is why I just turn it off. Then no one can say anything. I'm just kidding. I don't do that. There is complication in our church. The church is full of complication. And that is a reality, that is a truth that the deacon must know because knowing it helps them set the right expectations. Have you ever started doing something that you thought was going to be a lot easier than it actually was? Now, I'm sure that you have been in something like this before. Maybe you're like, yes, I got married. It's not nearly as easy as I thought it was going to be. Yeah, things are more complicated in real life, aren't they? There was a little bit of caulk, about 2 inches of caulking, that needed to be replaced at my back door. I mean, 2 inches of caulking, that's an easy job. You rip the old caulking out, you put new caulk in there, you clean up, it's done. 5 minutes. So I decided I was going to do this. 2 inches of caulk at my back door. 6 hours later, I was on the phone with the handyman asking if he could replace my back door and the back wall that the door was attached to and the entire backside of my house while he was at it. I started a project that I thought was going to be small, and it turned out to be a whole lot more complicated than I thought it was going to be. And it would have served me better. I would have been better off had I known it was going to be complicated because I could have prepared better. Well, the same is true for deacons. A deacon serves the church by assisting the pastors in caring for the congregation. Knowing that the church is complicated helps them serve better. They know what to expect. They know how they can serve. So that's the first truth that will help you, deacons. The church is full of complication. So that's the first truth. But then there is another truth. And I know for Matt and Jake, you're going, well, Sean, this is a really encouraging message. Thank you very much. Well, it gets better. That's the first truth. Here's the second truth. You are full of the Spirit. You are full of the Spirit. I'd guess it weighed about 30 pounds. 30 pounds of cold, hard cash. Coins, to be exact. It was loose change. See, for several years, I had been keeping my change and putting it in this bag, you know, because I had no idea if I would ever need it. And over time, it began to accumulate so that it became a massive bag of change. And I don't know why I never did anything with it along the way. You know, I don't know if I thought, well, I might need to pay a lot of parking meters at some point. I better keep all of them. I didn't know if I thought, well, I might need to grab a lot of bubble gum from those little machines where you have to put a quarter in. Or I didn't know if I thought I might have to wash every piece of clothing for my entire extended family at the laundromat, so I better keep. I have no idea why I kept all the change, but I did. And so one day I decided it's time. I need to go ahead and turn these into dollar bills. And so I took that bag out and I set it on the table and I looked at it and I was overwhelmed. You see, it was complicated because there were quarters and dimes and nickels and pennies and silver dollars and whatever else was in there. And I just thought, oh no, this is all mixed together. This is going to take me forever to sort through. So I set that bag of loose change down and decided that I would deal with it another day. And I went to the store. I walked in and that's when I saw it. That big, beautiful machine gently whispering my name. It was the coin sorting machine. Have you ever seen one of these things? It's amazing. Basically, you take all of your change, you pour it into the machine, and somehow it figures out a way to separate the quarters from the nickels, from the dimes, from the pennies. And it does all of this for the small fee of 45% of whatever you put in there. It's very reasonable. And so I'm like, all right, well, I'm going to do it. So I put it in, and I was amazed. It took 2 minutes. And then it gave me the cash that was, you know, that all of that change was worth. All those coins, they were mixed together. It was really complicated. It was a lot to sort through. But this machine was the answer to the complication. It could sort it out. It could do something that was going to take me forever to do. Listen to me, the church is full of complication. But look at Acts chapter 6. Verse 3, brothers and sisters, select from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Spirit and wisdom, whom we can appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. The church is full of complication. And the pastors are supposed to focus on prayer and the ministry of the word. So the pastors are not supposed to go in there and figure everything out. And so what's the solution? What are we supposed to do? Well, God makes the solution. He shows us the solution here. The solution is to appoint deacons to care for the people. And did you see what like the main attribute, the main characteristic of a deacon should be? The most important thing about them is that they must be full of the Spirit. They must have God, the Holy Spirit, in them. Yes, the church is full of complication, but a deacon is full of the Holy Spirit. And yes, it seems like too tall a task to deal with all of the complication of the church. But just like that sorting machine helped me with the complication of all of that change, the Holy Spirit helps a deacon with all of the complication of the church. A deacon must be full of the Spirit. And that's kind of a weird thing to say. When you think about it. Because when you read through the New Testament, you see that all Christians, all people who have faith in Jesus, have the Holy Spirit inside them. The Holy Spirit lives in them. Well, a deacon is part of the church. They are, number one, they must be a Christian, so they must have the Holy Spirit in them. So why then does it say that they need to be full of the Holy Spirit? Is that just saying like, hey, water, you need to be wet? What is going on there? What does this mean? This isn't talking about a deacon must be a Christian. That's a given. This is talking about the deacon being full of the Holy Spirit. That is, the deacon's life must show that the Holy Spirit is in them. We must be able to see the fruit of the Holy Spirit in the deacon's life. Do you know what the fruit of the Holy Spirit is? We have it in Scripture. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is joy, peace, patience, kindness. I skipped love on that one, but you knew it was there. Goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The law is not against such things. That is the fruit of the Spirit. And think about it. If a deacon is going to care for the church, if a deacon is going to deal with the complication of the church, then he must have love and peace and patience and gentleness. And the good news is that God, the Holy Spirit, provides that for you. Deacon, you are full of the Spirit, and He helps you deal with the complication of the church as He gives you more love, as He gives you more peace, as He gives you more patience, as He gives you more gentleness. You are not left alone to do this. You have the Holy Spirit. The church is full of complication, but you are full of the Holy Spirit. So lean on Him, trust in Him, pray for Him to strengthen you and give you wisdom that you need to serve His church. Yes, the church is full of complication, but you are full of the Holy Spirit. So those are the two truths that help deacons. Church is full of complication, but you are full of the Holy Spirit. And if you know these truths, it will help you. Because you won't feel overwhelmed when things get really complicated in the church. You won't lose your mind when it is harder than you thought it was going to be. You won't be discouraged when the mess is massive. Because you knew it was going to be complicated. And you know that you have the Holy Spirit in you. So take heart as you serve the Lord and His church. There's actually one more truth that you must know that will help you as a deacon. It is this: your Savior is full of grace. Your Savior is full of grace. Your responsibility to the Lord and His church as a deacon is heavy. Your deacon work is difficult. And guess what? You will not be a perfect deacon. You won't. No one is a perfect deacon. Although Craig is pretty close. I mean, he's almost there. You will not be a perfect deacon in this church full of complication, but your Savior is full of grace. His grace was on display when He died on the cross for your sin. His grace is on display as He empowers you by the Holy Spirit. His grace will be on display as He forgives you for your mistakes in the future. Your Savior is full of grace. So that is the last truth that I wanted to share with you tonight that will help you as a deacon. Now, though you're in a church full of complication, you are full of the Holy Spirit. So serve your Savior who is full of grace. Let's pray together. Father, once again, we thank You for Your grace. We know that none of us are worthy to hold the office of deacon. None of us are worthy to serve You or to serve Your church, but it is by Your grace that we can do it. We thank You that You have made us righteous in Jesus. We thank You that You have put Your Holy Spirit in us. And so I pray, Lord, that as these deacons take up this role, as they serve You and serve the church by caring for Your people, that they would know these truths and they would be encouraged. Let this be for Your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to invite these two guys to come up, our two deacons that we're ordaining tonight. And then I also want to invite all of our deacons and pastors. If you are an ordained deacon or a pastor, I invite you up as well. So, Pastor.